everyone, welcome to season 3 of the Thinking Tree podcast. We're delighted to have you back and we're delighted to be back. And this is a podcast where we love thinking about words and we love talking about words. And we even like to do a bit of metaphorical tree climbing with words. Now, if that's a strange or unusual concept to you, which it probably is because it's entirely made up, all that means is that each episode we take a different word and we take it through three different stages. So we, first of all, we look at the tree, and that's where we think about, what does this word mean? What is the dictionary definition, perhaps? What kind of different ways might we use this word? And what first things pop into our head when we think about this word or hear this word? Then we sit in the tree, and that's where we reflect a bit more and we think about if there's anything more meaningful that we can say about the word, or does this word perhaps represent something that's a bit more meaningful. And then finally, we climb the tree, and that's where we ask ourselves the question, is there anything eternal that we can say about this word, anything eternal that is connected to this word and that we can bring to the conversation? And is there anything that is going to matter forever in connection to this word? So welcome back, and please enjoy another episode of The Thinking Tree. Another week, another podcast, another word. Hi, Jess.
Hi, how are you doing?
All right.
Marvellous.
So a minute ago, you were just telling me that you've just walked all the way up a hill to your house, and now in about 20 minutes, you have to walk down the same hill again.
But down is fine. Down is so much easier. And it's not that much of a hill, to be fair. Like, it's okay.
No? Okay. Is this the same hill that came up once before in the, I can't remember what podcast it was, but there was something about snow and you were trying to go up a hill in some snow. Is it the same hill? Or no, you've moved house since then.
But I'm now up that hill. It might be. There was like a little tiny, like fairly steep slope up to my old road.
Okay.
But that was, you started up the same hill and then this just goes up. I mean, it's all, basically, I'm on a hill. I live on a hill.
Wow.
So there's always a hill. Like, even when you're walking in the flat bits, in inverted commas, you're basically
there's still hills. You live in a very hilly place, to be fair.
Yeah.
So very hilly. You're not going to escape them.
No, but downhill is always delightful.
Yeah. Oh, great. Good. Well, okay. We'll see.
Apart from in the winter when it's just like slidey. So actually then I'd rather go uphill.
Well, then you need a sledge.
That's true.
But I still think I think that you need some sort of wheels, maybe. Maybe this would help.
So
on your feet, but or just a scooter or something.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Or a skateboard.
I'm not sure where I'd put. Oh my goodness! Honestly, the kids would be like, "What on earth is happening?" And also, I'd fall off and break things every time. Like,
yeah,
there's only so many limbs you can break before you can carry on, isn't there? Do you know?
Yeah.
I mean, not in a desperate way, but like, you wouldn't be able to like scoot it down if you break two arms, would you?
No, I don't think. I think probably just good old-fashioned walking is probably safer all round. I'll stop trying to influence you to roll down your hill.
I mean, you have a scooter, don't you?
I rode my scooter just now, in fact.
Did you?
Yeah, and it's always more fun going downhill than up, but we don't have quite so many hills here, so it's fine. No. Yeah. No, it was. I have good fun on that scooter. It's not an electric one. It's a, you know, manual. But fun going down a hill. I feel that sort of I feel that sort of childhood joy of going at speed downhill, so it's good. Well, we better get started, because otherwise you really will have to go down the hill very quickly on some wheels.
I'd love to try that with time. Up in the grass anyway, but
oh well, I actually just roll, not
well, yeah,
even on wheels.
Do you know, find a grass bit and like, you know, put yourself sideways and
gosh, have you tried that as an adult, Jess? Because I tried it as an adult and it was not as fun as I remembered it when I was a child.
No,
I felt very dizzy and it was awful. Honestly, I was like, what? Why did I enjoy this as a child? I think our center of gravity changes or something. Something happens.
Maybe.
So no, do not try that, especially down the middle of a road. What have I started? Anyway, we need to begin, because the word is friend, which feels like a big one.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, and I actually, do you know what? I was inspired And had, well, I don't know if it, this is inspired, but maybe bored is the word. And I looked up a couple of fun facts. Well, it's really just one fun fact, but I just thought it would be fun to explore the idea of unlikely animal friendships. So I found out a couple of those. And apparently there is a pigeon and a macaque who are good friends in China.
A pigeon and a what, sorry?
A macaque. Oh, are you familiar with macaques?
I'm definitely not familiar.
It's like a type of monkey.
Oh.
Have you ever seen those, I mean, not in real life, but those Japanese macaques that sit around in hot springs in Japan when it's snowing, and they look them up, but anyway, so a pigeon and a monkey, I suppose,
amazing,
made friends. So the little monkey macaque was abandoned by its mother in China, and then made friends with a pigeon who helped him to kind of get a new joy and zeal for life. So that was a lovely, heartwarming story. And then another story of a hippo and a tortoise. And apparently there's a 130-year age gap in this friendship. So nice to see some cross-generational, cross-species friendships in action here. But so the baby hippopotamus was rescued from a reef where he was stranded during the tsunami in the Indian Ocean in 2004, and was brought to an animal sanctuary in Kenya. And the little hippo ran and hid behind a giant tortoise, and as it would have hidden behind its mother in its natural habitat, or natural setting. And the since then, apparently the two have been friends ever since, walking around, feeding together each day, a hippo and a tortoise. Isn't that a lovely story?
And like now this
story.
Hippo must be enormous, and like the tortoise presumably not as big as the hippo.
Well, that's a good point, actually, because if it was a baby hippo in 2004, quite old by now, hippos are huge.
Big. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really nice.
Well, apparently you can look them up. And I think they had some sort of website or something. Oh, I should have
I'm going to do some
put that link. But anyway, hippo and tortoise. Yes, okay. So
I like that. Very nice.
So some little facts for you to just wet
out. That's cheered my rainy day. That's very nice.
Oh, lovely. So friend. I mean, we'll start as we always do by looking at the tree. And what comes to mind with the word friend, other than, of course, now we've all got the hippo and the tortoise and the pigeon and the macaque in our minds. But if I hadn't put that image in your mind, what might have come to mind?
Well, like my friends, I think. Like when you think of friend, I think of like my friends.
And that makes sense.
And like, you know, having a nice time. Generally like having a cup of tea, maybe.
Yeah.
And like feeling happy, feeling relaxed.
Okay, so it's nice feelings. That's interesting. I don't know why I didn't think of my actual friends. I thought instead, first of all, well, clearly animal friendships.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that says about me. But also Friends, the TV show, popped into my head.
Yeah, well, fair.
So maybe I don't have any real friends, only animals and TV shows. No, I'm only joking, but that was something that popped into my mind as something from, you know, our heyday. Anyway, the 90s.
Well, it's made a comeback, hasn't it, Friends? Like it's back on the.
Has it?
Yeah, all the kids like watch it again, and then they're all outraged by, you know, so much of the stuff that is now not particularly politically correct.
Oh yes, it's quite
in lots of ways.
It's quite NPC now, isn't it?
Yeah,
but it was in its time. You know, we've got to take it in its time.
Yeah.
We can't superimpose our modern
values. My favourite episode, I think, is one with the cheesecake, where they eat the cheesecake off the floor.
It makes me laugh
so much.
I like the one where, is it Rachel accidentally gets the pages of the recipe book stuck together and accidentally makes a shepherd's pie and a trifle
all
combined.
And they all smile and go,
Yeah, to me. Until she goes out the room and then Ross says, it tastes like feet.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good one. Do you have a favourite Friends character?
Oh, that's a good question. I also think it's changed. I think it changes different times. Okay. I think Ross is very funny. He cracks me up.
He's quite
funny. And I like Rachel's story arc. Like, I like how, you know.
Character development.
I like all of them, really.
I like all of them, but Phoebe does stand out for me.
Phoebe, yeah.
Particularly she's hilarious. Funny.
Yeah, she is. That's what you thought of first, all of it. You're looking at the tree, Friends.
Well, that pops into my head just as a, you know, the just thinking of the word. I suppose I was thinking of the word rather than the concept, which is a strange thing to say, isn't it? Because the word is the concept.
It's very like prominent. The actual word is prominent, isn't it, when you think of Friends?
It is. But then also these days, I mean, I think the meaning of the word friend has changed a bit. So one of my first thoughts was Facebook friends. And the fact that, you know, these days we call people friends. They might even be strangers, or they might just be someone that someone we know knows. But suddenly they might become our friends, in inverted commas.
Yeah.
And that's a strange dynamic. And then it always
becomes a bit mean not to call someone your friend. So when you're trying to talk about somebody and you might call them a colleague or somebody that you know, it sounds like you're being really mean. And you're not. It's just something
What if someone's not your friend? Yeah, true.
Not being your friend doesn't mean that you're not friendly with them or you don't like them. It's just that you don't know them very well. So how could you possibly be friends?
Yeah. Good point.
Yeah, you're right.
And the other thing is that whilst I believe that the word friend should firmly be a noun. You have a friend. These days, because of social media, it has become a verb. So to friend or to unfriend, like, you know, to unfriend someone. I mean, what, like that, that can only happen in social media, surely, because that's such a weird concept. You can't unfriend someone. Like,
no.
You can gradually drift apart, or you can, I don't know, what do people used to call it when you stop being friends with someone?
I don't know.
In real life.
I don't know.
But
I mean,
anyway.
Like in the playground in primary school, it's like, I'm not her friend anymore. That's, you just say that, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah. True. I think I even remember people using the term breaking up with someone as a friend. Oh. I know normally you think of that as like a boyfriend-girlfriend thing, but I definitely remember people saying that they friends broke up or whatever. But yeah, so that, I mean, that was an interesting kind of... And then when I looked in the dictionary, it was interesting. There was even there's a definition of friend, which was a person with whom one has a bond of mutual affection, etc. But then there was an interesting sub point or footnote or whatever you want to call it, saying that there'd been not that much change since 1911, which must have been the first edition of this dictionary, the Oxford, to 2011. The primary meaning of friend hadn't changed much, but the secondary senses of the word friend have changed. So now, if you look up friend, you know, in the dictionary or an online dictionary or something, one of the secondary meanings of friend is a contact on a social networking website, which is a bit depressing, isn't it? But it says... Here, the original secondary meaning of friend was a person who acts for one, for example, as a second in a duel. I think it's fair to say that we don't have it, but isn't there so much more depth to that? Like somebody being a second in your duel.
Yeah, second being someone in a duel compared to someone that you've clicked on a button on social media. It's very different.
I know. I found that a little bit depressing. Great if the primary meaning hasn't changed all that much. But I don't think that can be true, because I think, I think probably now we're going to start sitting in the tree, because I think this is going to be a bit more meaningful reflections. But I think friendship has changed, even if the definition is roughly similar to 1911.
Yeah.
Surely social media and friendships online have changed our friendships, our actual friendships, or changed the way we view friendship, or
I'm sure
that it can't be a completely untouched definition over 100 years.
Do you think that friendships are less deep?
Well, I think they can be. I think if we're not intentional,
is it that we have fewer friends, or like what is it?
Or more friends, too many friends. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I just think that we have been sold the lie that we can have these two-dimensional online friendships.
I see. Yeah.
And I think if we're really honest, it's probably left a bit of a sour taste in our mouths. So. Mm-hmm. Like two-dimensional friendships just don't cut it, I don't think, because if you think about it, all the hallmarks of real friendship are things I think they need to happen in person, like sacrifice, time, you know, quality time, conversation, vulnerability, forgiveness, building trust, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
they like needs to happen in 3D, doesn't it?
What would you say though to somebody? I actually agree with you, but is there I've lost words today. I'm gonna have to make up some new ones.
Classic. We need this, the new slot, Jess's new word.
Is there a slither of a category within this where online friendships can be those things? Because you do hear some stories that you read, like in Good News kind of stories, of people who become friends at online gaming, and especially maybe some people who find socializing quite difficult, and they've become real genuine friends on online gaming. And I feel like I've read this in different places. Someone has become really poorly, and actually their online gaming friends come and visit them in hospital. Like, they make a big sacrifice, travel across countries, like to go and see them in hospital when they're really poorly,
but actually see them in person.
Yeah, so then it ends up person, but they've developed and bonded like a real friendship in that, you know, they, from their onlineness, they have been spurred on to sacrifice time, energy, money to go and see somebody.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I'm sure it's possible. I'm not sure that it's ideal, personally. Yeah. But that's, you know. Yeah, I don't know. No, that's interesting.
Does end up in person, doesn't it? So clearly, you know, having a deep friendship involves that need, that want to be physically present. But
yeah, you know, it's not a new concept to be friends at a distance, is it? You know, people used to write letters or used to have pen pals. They might not have, people might not have met, but they were sharing in writing. I mean, granted, it would take longer to receive their letter and all that, but over time, a friendship was built up, and that also was disembodied, wasn't it? They weren't in person. It doesn't mean that you can't have a real bond with them. But I just do wonder if we've settled for shallow friendships. Yeah, so maybe all those things can happen at a distance. I don't know. That's an interesting one.
Well, but even so, from my extensive, you know, knowledge and research of the times when people wrote letters, from watching Pride and Prejudice slash reading it, what's her face? She's called Charlotte, who marries Mr. Collins. She is refreshed, isn't she, when Elizabeth goes to visit her? Like, so they're really good friends, and they've written to each other, but actually someone coming to see you is refreshing. And I think now, like, having moved away from where lots of my friends are, when they've come and visited and been here where I now live, actually it makes me feel much more settled here because of the physical presence of my friends. And that's made a massive, that's felt lovely. So I think there is a big thing of your physicality of friendships, isn't there? The actual presence.
Yeah, I imagine it's just a case of keeping things in their place, isn't it? And being, you know, obviously not saying that building friendships of people online is a bad thing, but I think we do need to be aware of its limits. And we also, I think, need to be careful that that we're not trying to escape our own human limits as well by wanting to be in touch with so many people everywhere. Because I think part of us just wants to, you know, obviously physically as people, we only have a certain capacity to spend time with a certain number of people and talk to them and share our life with them. But now mm-hmm. we've suddenly got this whole other like world and realm of possibility at our fingertips via technology. And so I just think we need to be a bit careful about how we use it, not passive, not just assume that this is the norm and that this is okay.
Yeah.
But maybe be a bit more intentional about how we do things. I don't know. I've been just really thinking about this quite a lot recently because I realized that I spent a lot of time scrolling through Facebook, looking at, you know, people's pictures, people's holiday photos, people that I hadn't seen maybe for, I don't know, like 15 years.
Yeah.
And had no reason to be interested in what the kind of ice cream their children were eating on holiday and no reason to even know what their children looked like, having never met them. And I just, and then, and yet the people around me, I realized that my kind of ability to make conversation was diminishing because we don't, if we're not careful, we don't do that anymore. We look at someone's photos or it might be Instagram rather than Facebook or whatever it is we use. And then perhaps we see them in person and we say, oh yeah, so you did a nice thing the other day. And that's all we talk about. We don't anymore ask people good questions and find out how they're doing. And do you know what I mean? It's a whole new dynamic that we have to navigate.
There is an art, isn't there, to good questions? I don't think I've got it. Like, I'm not very good at... A friend I have here is very good at asking good questions. I'm like, I need to write these down so I can I can be a good friend to other people too.
Oh, I'm sure you ask good questions. I think all of us are probably losing the capacity for that though, the more that we interact solely online. So it's just, I think it's just having a balance, isn't it?
But there's also, it's just a capacity in life, isn't it? You can't, I remember a really wise, lovely friend of mine, when she'd moved around a few, she sort of settled in a place and she realized that she couldn't keep up with all her friendships like she used to be able to. And she's like, it's really sad, but I think that is just the reality that if you want to have good friends, you can't be good friends with everybody. And so some friendships change. So she and I are still really good friends, but there's a different way that functions than it did when we lived in the same place. And and that's okay. Like, we're, you know, that's how we function, and that's a good thing. And it's just different, isn't it? Because we don't have the capacity to be have deep friendships with. I can't even remember where this was, but someone talking about if you have like a handful of good friends, then that's a wonderful thing. Like that's kind of enough. And we sort of think that we maybe need loads and loads, but actually you don't need loads and loads. You need a handful of really good friends.
Definitely.
Absolutely. And that's so important, aren't they? We desperately need them. You know, having moved around a bit, the times when I haven't had friends, it's really hard. It affects you in lots of different ways.
We definitely need friends. And again, I think we're made to think that as we grow older, we should become more independent and able to do things alone. And actually, I think the opposite is true. I think we need our friends more and more.
There's a weirdness, isn't there, to friendships where they're not exclusive. You know, they're friendships and you might be quite committed, you might be really committed to it, but they're not exclusive relationships. So there's that kind of thing to battle with as well, isn't it?
Because so you have to share them.
You have to share them. So I think some of that takes navigating for you as well.
Yeah, definitely. Gosh, there's a lot, isn't there?
The physicality thing has made me think of a person in the Bible who I happened to come across the other week because we were talking about friends.
Oh, is this a segue into climbing the tree? Because we do need to do that now. Brilliant.
We do. But basically the rocking up, so the deepness and the kind of, you know, being committed to somebody, but also the physicality. I might say all of these names wrong. So if you want to correct me, please do. I've said the wrong, please do. But Paul was writing a letter to someone called Timothy when he was in prison, and he talks about someone called Onesiphorus. Onesiphorus. I don't know how to say his name.
Well, you've covered a lot of the options, so
lots of different options.
You're
there.
Safe.
But this chap, he like travelled to go and find Paul. Like he says, he often refreshed me. Was not ashamed of him. Like he wasn't ashamed of his chains. When Paul also talks about these two people who I think Hermogenes and Phygellus, I say those, who had abandoned him. Like quite a lot of people had abandoned Paul because he was in prison. But this chap like went to him and he wasn't ashamed of him. And like, and he kept going. It says he searched hard for me until he found me. Like he persevered to physically rock up in Paul's presence to encourage him and refresh him. I mean, that is a good friend, isn't it? That's a brilliant friend.
That is a good friend. And I hope that, I imagine that's something that's so important that even if, you know, because they had letter writing in those days, he could have just written a letter, but he wanted to be there in person. And likewise, you know, our form of technology is, you know, a bit different to simply letter writing, but hopefully we're still putting physical presence as a priority in friendship as well. Perhaps not all the time, but when we can. And I suppose I, at the risk of sounding like a simplistic kind of Sunday school answer, I suppose my mind went to Jesus being our friend when I was thinking of climbing this tree. Because he can be our friend, and he is the ultimate friend. And so some words from John's Gospel in chapter 15. I'll just read the words. My command is this. This is Jesus speaking. My command is this. Love one another. Love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. I guess ultimately, we get this model of sacrificial friendship from Jesus and in getting to know him and know him as our friend in the same way, you know, he said, love each other as I have loved you. So we then, that's a model for us for how to be a friend like that, who loves, who sacrifices, who maybe will travel all those miles to go and see a friend. I guess, we're out of time. You've got to roll down your hill. but that was kind of the abiding thought that I wanted to finish on.
No, and isn't that, and no, I know, and I, thought about, is it, as in, you can't not think about it. He is, and I've now just, isn't it amazing to think that Jesus can be your friend? Like, that is, we talk, like, because Christians will talk about him being, like, Lord, or him being Saviour, or him being the King, or in God, and actually also, he's our friend, and that's, like, it always feels really, it feels like it, you know, like, I don't know, what's audacious, is that the word? I don't know
if that's the word. I don't know what word you're looking for.
I don't even know if that is a word. I feel like audacious is a word. Is that like,
audacious is a word, I think. But in what way is it audacious?
Well, I don't know. Like cheeky. Like they're kind of not cheeky, but they're cheeky. You know, they're kind of.
Oh, what? That we could call him our friend.
The daringness to be able to call him friend. And you think, really? And you can.
Interestingly, this came up last night in our small group Bible study. We were talking about relating to God in different ways, and you know, it's kind of in some ways relating to God the Father as our Father. You can kind of understand what that means, because you know, most people, well, everyone at some point has a father, but relating to Jesus, some people were saying that they struggled sometimes to know how to relate to Jesus, and one person just was sharing like, I've always just, you know, I came to know Jesus as a teenager, and for me he's always just been such a precious friend, and that's how I relate to him most strongly. And that really struck me, and I think that's a good place to finish climbing this tree for now. We can climb it further in our own time, but Jess has to roll down a hill, so
I mean, I'm probably just gonna walk sensibly, but
yes, you know. Yeah, much better idea. Thanks. Great, well, thanks, nice Jess. Bye.
Good to talk to you.